Last week on Lore Seekers.
Like, you know, I remember when we played Warcraft and Legion dropped. I remember we had distinct things we were doing. You know, you're going here, point A, point B, and you know, even elsewhere. We kind of had a general direction of what we wanted to do, I feel like. But when you add in a system that's taking you all over the globe,
yeah,
you're just like, what?
Yeah,
what am I gonna do?
I have heard more people in the last couple of weeks say things to the effect of, I never have to search for things to do in this game.
From the depths of the darkest caverns to the peaks of the highest mountaintops, join two friends as they explore Tamriel and share their tales one pint at a time. This is the Lore Seekers Podcast.
Beats, bears, Battlestar Galactica.
Words that start with Z.
Zebra, zinc, zephanophilopolis.
Words that start with boob.
I have those.
Fail. You failed.
What are you doing?
Well, we've been walking on a cold trail for the last day. And all we're doing is recognizing license plates. We're playing the license plate game, and we're playing words that start with what letter?
Oh.
And you always fail.
Well.
At boob.
I just, you know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that.
Mental block. It's okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Oh, gosh. My goodness. Oh, look. Here she comes. Thank God.
Welcome back, fellas. What can I get you today?
Oh, my dear, I will have a stout. Give me a stout. Stouty stout.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm actually going to try your Clovian chocolate porter. Looks amazing.
That does sound good.
Coming right up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my man. So, talk to me. Tell me your name.
Sure, take a sip of this.
Okay. Tell me about your day. Wow, that's obnoxious.
Oh,
is that a beer?
So
that sounds like a beer.
Yeah. It's a very dark porter, and it's actually she's quick, isn't she? She
very
brought
quick.
My drink.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and I deserve it. I've had a week.
Tell us about your week. What have you been doing?
I have been working, and it's been unseasonably busy because the world has forgotten that there's a pandemic going on, friends. Everybody's outside.
Yeah,
people
are
falling off their bikes. People are rear-ending each other. People are hitting each other in their cars. People are tripping and falling, pooping their pants, all those wonderful things that that I deal with. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I love taking care of the peeps, but man, it's been busy.
Well.
Especially at night.
Yes.
That's when I try to sleep.
Last
night.
especially on full moons, it's when the crazies and the babies come out.
That is very true. There's something to be said about full moon nights. I mean, I wish it was werewolves or something cool.
Yeah.
But no.
I know.
It's like nutty.
Zombies
people.
Are coming or something, you know, just make it exciting. That's not just crazy. That's totally a thing, though. And I fully believe in that. You know what? My mom was a nurse for 23 years. And, it was always full moons, man. That's when the freaking place went ballistic.
It's very, very true. And it's we're well into summertime here in SoCal. So, I mean, the beaches are open. People are just out and about doing all kinds of things. Everybody was locked up at home for so long. Probably still should be. Because it's making a comeback. I don't want to make this... I don't want to make this a COVID season on Lore Seekers, but yeah, it's still out there, folks. It's still happening. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. That's the real life part of it. There's been some ESO time because there's always time for ESO time. And I got a little different venture this week, man.
Oh, yeah? What were you doing this week?
Do you want to know? I've already talked to you about it several times.
Please tell me about your day and your week. What have you been doing?
Well, it starts with something that's not going to surprise too many people. And then another thing that's probably not going to surprise too many people because I'm dumb as a rock for the most part. The first one is that I am trying out some Bobo builds this week.
Just to
see how they feel. I ran a stamina necromancer for a few days. Fun. Not really my playstyle.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, I don't know about this. Cool, though. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And they do hit hard. There's potential there to hit super hard.
Right.
Super high DPS, right?
Yeah.
Because they're probably best in show right now. Or stam classes. And it just wasn't happening for me. Probably because I suck at the game. For the most part. So I took him into some content, and then I cycled him right out, went back to my warden. Of course, he's my backup. He's what I go to. And then I went, you know, I'm going to try the Stam Warden, because Stam Warden's hitting pretty hard. So in the same breath, I went to two different sites that I frequent for builds. One is the Asian God. Very super analytical gentleman. We should have him on the show. Very super analytical dude.
Get him in here.
Very, very geared toward in-game content, and that's kind of what I'm building for. And then I went to Zynode's site because he updated his Yogi build, which is a bow. And if you don't understand what that is, if you're newer to the game, no problem. You're using a bow on the front bar and a bow on your back bar. And Zynode has a build called Yogi where you're running a warden, a Bobo warden. And yeah, that one is fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a fun time right now. You know, it's just like we're just trying things and just having some fun. And, you know, we're kind of beyond the forever tune thing. I think it's just the fact that we're enjoying a lot of classes right now and just having some fun. And I'm working on my Sork
for 2 years. Yeah, so you got your Max Sork. How's that working?
It's fun. It's definitely fun. I'm kind of at this place where I'm trying to decide if I want to keep leveling this guy or just go take my current PvP Sork and just work on him with skill points and stuff. But it's weird because I'm, you know, it's just kind of like this happy balance. And the way I'm approaching Greymoor, like when it came to Elsewhere, you know, first off, COVID wasn't in the world and things were a little bit more normalized on a daily basis. That being said, I could, you know, absorb the game on a regular, you know, like regularly and just suck all the content in, you know. But this...
You mean your kid was in school?
My kid was in school, yeah.
Ah.
So this, you know, this year has definitely been different, especially as a parent. You know, when I look at Greymoor and its launch, I'm just like, I'm taking it all in differently. So this year, it's much more like a slow burn, you know. It's just like a slow cook, like a barbecue, right? Like a brisket.
It does feel a bit like a burn.
Yeah, it's and I'm enjoying that because, you know, some days I'll log in, I'll work on a tune. Other days I'll log in and I'll keep working on the story. I'm taking the story slowly because it's one of those things where I don't want to go through it too quickly. I want to take my sweet time because everything about this area, you know, ever since we played it way back when with Greymoor, it's been nothing short of amazing. And, you know, like I'll go to Solitude and just walk around. And regardless, whatever it ends up being, Rich, some confirmation would be nice. So I know what the heck's going on. But anyway, I love to just go to Solitude.
Is he behind you or something?
And say hi. Well, he just kind of sneaks in. You know, he's
got to
be
like
ready.
You turned your head and talked to him behind you.
I do this. I just assume he's there. But anyway, I run in. And I love to see a lot of the city. I love to go see Kolgir, the Lore Seeker. I just like seeing that NPC.
Every time I walk through there.
I know.
I go find her.
I know, me too. It means it's pretty special, I'm not going to lie. And so I just, everything about it, the city. I know this is crazy weird, but the way that the Way Shrines are designed. I love it so bad, man.
Why is that crazy?
I don't know. It just feels crazy.
You like the style. It's the Nord style. It's the Nord style. 4 and 3 and 2 and 1. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah. Totally. Okay. That. Yeah.
No, but there is a feel to Graymore.
Yeah.
And they captured it. And there's so many people out there that have such an amazing love for everything that was Elder Scrolls V that now that we have a giant chunk of the Northern Territories in Elder Scrolls Online, it makes it feel like home. And everybody loves a Nord. Like, yeah, everybody loves Khajiit too. So like when we were all down in Northern and Southern elsewhere, it was super fun. And that brought you all over the map. But with this release brought something that has made everybody, number one, have a major dose of nostalgia.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And two, there are people all over Tamriel right now because of one reason.
That's antiquities. Where you
say antiquities.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know. I'm like, let me narrow it down. A story? No. Maybe no, story.
It's 1,000% antiquities. I mean, that is why people are where they are. They're all over the place. You go to, I was in Betnik, and there was people running all over the place. I was like, whoa. So it was kind of cool. Now, Artam is, I think I said last week, Artam is a freaking dance party.
It's a 24/7 rave.
Yeah, like, it's a freaking rave. Everybody's there. And, Zone Chat.
Just take it off. Like, it's off for at least for 2-3 months on my bars, especially with the new chapter release.
Somebody made a comment in there today. I was running around doing some digging, and somebody was just being generally trolly, which is normal. And somebody said, like, you know, well, ESO is an MMO, and this person came back and said, I don't think so. ESO is like Skyrim with your friends. Like, trying to be snarky. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is. And that makes it really effing awesome, doesn't it? Did you mean that as an insult? Because you failed.
Well, it's just like one of those things where, you know, the single player games were a lot of things for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. A lot of people found the ones that they loved through playing the single player RPGs. Other ones, it was seclusion. For me, it was a home away from a crazy upbringing, you know? And so when I think of Western Skyrim with Greymoor, now it's, with everything going on in the real world, it's become a place of, this chapter's, for me personally, it's become a place of refuge, a place where I can escape, you know?
Right.
And I don't want to speed through that. You know, I just want to enjoy it. And there's so many, you're right, you know, there's so many callbacks to Skyrim, you know, from 2011. And it's just like, wow, you know, it's just, it hits on a lot of feels all at the same time. And antiquities, it's, you know, and you heard of the intro. Antiquities, man, you're all over the world. And it's, and I love the little lore bits that you get. And, you know, that is incredibly special.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, it's not like, it's not per se like hard factual lore. It's like carrying on the conversation like you have in a podcast. You know, it's like speculation. It's like, maybe the Sijiks use this for that. Oh, how did they write this? Did they write it? It was invisible, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all these things. And it just adds another layer, you know, and it's right now in the space we're in and the world we're in, it's a really good layer to have.
I was up in East March doing some scrying and digging up there. And I ran into a couple of pieces up there, and I'm sure people probably already found these, but there was a lot of hits on like shield maidens.
Oh yeah.
And I've been on a Vikings kick lately, like catching up on the last season, and oh my god, it's so good.
It's really good.
And there's, I mean, that like half that show is these epic, just kick-ass shield maidens, and it's so to read that, I was like, oh my god. Like it kind of all like, I just had like a moment like where it kind of came down for me where like the lore in Elder Scrolls completely parallels the lore in our modern world.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty cool to see stuff like that. And the thought process that goes behind, you know, well, your antiquity will be studied overnight at the guild. And you're like, oh, what's it going to say?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always something super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's at work talking. Sometimes he's snarky. It's like, dude, do you not like your job?
I love orcs so bad. We're going to be talking about orcs. But
speaking of orcs.
Yeah, anyway, let's give him the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. This is the Lord Seekers Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, well, friends, we hope you stay. This is a show where we talk Elder Scrolls Online. We are your hosts. This is Volume 7, Number 3. We're your hosts. My name's Jibs. I'm joined by Cash.
Hi, friends. Your tip of the week. Do not go through Veteran Dragonstar Arena. Actually get the Master's Bow to drop and then decon it on accident. Don't do that.
Did you do that? Please tell me you didn't do that. Did you do that?
Yep.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. I've been in VDSA. Tonight will be my third time through VDSA again with friends. Thank you guys. If you've ran Wandering Bard, Bronze Solo from Sons of Sithis podcast has gone with us. Mission Maniacs running us through there from...
All right. Lore Seekers.
Tamriel.
I need you to do me a solid from one GM for another. Get this his master's bow. And please make sure he locks it.
Well, in my defense, which is... There's holes all over this defense, but in my defense, it's called the Caustic Bow.
Yeah.
Right? Part of the Master Set. It's called the Caustic Arrow is what it's called. And I looked everywhere for it and I could not find it. And I'm like, the only thing that I could have possibly done is freaking decon it because I am a decon fiend. Yeah. And I just click, 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 click. Oh, that's one you should have locked.
Right.
Dumbass. So yeah, I must have deconed.
Well, crap. All right. Well, you'll have to get it back. Another reason to go in, right?
Yeah, it's actually fun. I mean, I actually enjoy BDSA. It's a pretty fun place to go.
Yeah. It's a good time. You know, I ran it for the first time 2 nights ago with you, Mission, and, oh my gosh, Dave. Dave.
Yeah, Dave's count. That's right.
Dave.
Dave, thank you very much, too.
Yeah. It was fun. That was a good time. But anyway, folks, so again, welcome to the show. If you were here last week on the podcast, well, we talk console grade more release. We talk your emails, voicemails. It was a big email voicemail show. It was fun. Crown Store Showcase for June. More details on Stadia and a lore lesson on Greymore Caverns. But this week on the show, we're answering your fan mail, talking Greymore Housing Contest, Nightfall Crown Crate Tease. ESO on Google Stadia and lore lesson on...
We're doing a lore lesson on something that has intrigued me for a long time and we haven't really touched it. The Wood Orcs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be good. That's going to be good.
It's a fun one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, real quick tip. This is for our community. We do this every show. This week in the Lore Seeker community, real quick, this is for all PCNA members and, of course, those who are a part of the Trade Guild, of course. But the Lore Seeker Trade Guild's Guild Trader is in Venomous Fens in Shadowfen. So, if you want to see the official Lore Seeker Trade Guild, it is there. People are selling. Go buy some things.
Okay.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
I've been looking for you. Got something I'm supposed to deliver. Your hands only.
That was weird.
I don't know what else to do anymore. I've lost all track of... I don't know how to talk to him.
I know. It's almost like you have mini stroke every time that poor dude walks in.
I think he just puts up with me at this point. He's like,
I think he probably walks in and thinks that I'm your keeper. Like, he probably walks in and goes like, oh, how sweet. Look at him. He must guide him around.
Have you seen any Space Force on Netflix yet?
I can't stand that show.
Are you serious?
I can't stand that show. Like, I love Steve Carell, but that is a dumbass show. I'm so sorry, dude.
It's so good.
No. I don't like Parks and Rec, though, either, dude. I love The Office, but I could not get into Parks and Rec.
Ron Swanson is America's Jim. You take that back.
I will not.
I'm going to fly over to California and punch you right in the throat.
I'll be ready for you.
And then hug you. All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so hey, first up, we got a heavy metal. Heavy Metal Head 13. He's part of our, I know this name. This is part of our
part leadership. Of our leadership team.
Yeah. One of our GMs of our Xbox and A chapter. So it says, hope you guys are doing well and staying safe outside of Tamriel. I'm interested in your thoughts in regards to equipment. In my opinion, I haven't found anything nerve-shattering about the mythic items in general. That Malakath band is pretty dang impressive, though. But as I've been looking into getting a bit more sweaty with my DPS...
Oh, that's dirty.
After mostly main... Is that a thing? Sweaty? Does that mean like you're trying hard? Getting sweaty?
Yes.
Okay. After shows how well-informed I really am about things in life.
Do you really ask that?
You know what? I just don't. You know, I just stay in my corner. After mostly maining a tank for over 2 years and have been looking at builds for various sources such as your dude Zynode... Something I've noticed is that he has a few builds that do not utilize monster sets. I've even seen other builds utilizing arena weapons on both bars in PvE and PvP. I'm wondering what your thoughts are in regards to builds that are starting to effectively break the meta. I'm in favor of this in the sense that it does open up viability for players who don't have the time or desire to run vet dungeons for specific monster sets to deal high damage. I don't see the known meta going away anytime soon, but I like how this opens up the game for more players. Have a great show. Talk to you guys later. Don't forget the virus is still out there, so watch your damn hands. Heavy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Thank you for the public service announcement at the end, because it's absolutely accurate. Wash your hands, wear your masks. Anyway, I like that he mentions this, bro, because this is exactly what I'm going through right now with Zynode's build. And it's not running a monster set. So let's backtrack a little bit. If you're newer to the game, a monster set is a two-piece set, headpiece and shoulder piece, that you can acquire at endgame for specific bonuses and some type of a proc chance ability. For example, Selene's. If you're using a melee weapons, when Selene's procs, big green bear comes out and whacks the target, and you provide more DPS. And there's a chance for that thing to activate,
right,
upon certain things.
Yeah.
And there's tons of these monster sets in the game. And normally, for the meta, which is, you know, basically the best in slot, if you're playing that game, which it does exist at the end game to a certain extent. But if you're playing that game, there are certain sets that you got to go do veteran dungeons to get.
Right.
Now, what Heavy Metal's talking about is the fact that there are some builds out there that are no longer using that head and shoulder piece. What they're doing is they're using a five-piece for head, shoulder, and then a number of body pieces. And then some of your body pieces are of another set, so it equals 5 and 5. Right. And then your weapons... And your jewelry is also part of that. And then your weapons are 2 arena weapons. So my Bobo build that I'm running right now, that's why I need the Master's Bow. Because that Master's Bow sits on my front bar. The Maelstrom Bow sits on my back bar. Because each of those arena weapons has bonuses to certain skills. For example, the Master's Bow buffs up your Poison Injection, where the Maelstrom Bow buffs up your Endless Hail for bow builds. So I guess I'm kind of in that hold that thought part, you know, about how it's going to work out. But, you know, I watched Zynode's parse on it, or the results of Zynode's parse on his Bobo build, and he was hitting in the mid 80,000 range, which that's pretty darn solid for a complete ranged build. So that's what I'm looking at, and this is the first time that I haven't had a monster set on in quite a while. So Can that work? Yeah, I mean, anything can work if you're using sets that boost up certain things for your character. There's all kinds of different things that can work, and that's the beauty of this game.
You nailed it.
There are so many combinations that you could play with and go get. And that's why I like Zynode so much, because Zynode doesn't necessarily go with, you know, on a Magicka carry, doesn't necessarily go with the Zahns and Sororias and Mother Sorrow, right? Like, that is the set if you're going to, you know, do a parse on a dummy to get the maximum amount of damage on a Magicka character. Not necessarily. There are other sets out there that can provide incredible amounts of group utility and work for builds that may not necessarily be what everybody's running, such as a Bobo Warden. So, and they're doable. They're totally workable. Jibs?
Yeah. That's one thing I love about ESO. And you said exactly what I want to touch on. And that is, there's so many ways to play this game. You know, that's the way it was marketed at one point. Play how you want to play. And, you know, especially with One Tamriel. You know, Rich talked about that when he was on the show. One Tamriel is where ESO really saw a shift. And I am all for, and have always been, a fan of breaking the meta. I love just trying things and tinkering with things. Not everybody's going to get into that, and that's fine, but
right,
you know, just tinkering with your character. And that, you know, that's first off, that's one of the beauties about spending extended periods of time with a specific character is, you know, you just start tinkering after one point. You know, you're like, I want to try this, I want to try that, I want to see what's going to do. And so, yeah, I love non-meta stuff. I love, you know, just switching it up, trying things. And then when the best part is when people ask you and you're like, oh, yeah, this, this, and this. And they're like, what? I'm sorry. You, what?
the thing is about the meta. I don't necessarily think that. It's not necessarily. I don't think at all that a majority of players play within the realm of what the meta really is. You know, like, remember back in World of Warcraft, it's like, if you didn't have this exact set,
oh, that was everything.
They wouldn't even let you onto a raid team.
No. Nope.
Well, that's why this game is so beautiful, because there's so many different sets that you can use. And like,
yeah,
I forget what patch was it? One where Moongrave Fane came in, but when Hollowfangs was introduced, I don't even think I heard of Hollowfangs until I was messing around with Zynode's off-balance Templar build. And then I started to see it like over and over and over and over again. I like to think that he had a part in that, in getting people to really start using that set. Well, now, when I am in a trial or even in a dungeon and I see that big pool growing below me, like, I dive for that pool.
Mm-hmm.
Because it returns your resources. And like, how, I mean, a majority of us are probably struggling with resources when you're at in-game content at some point. So those sets that may not necessarily be the perfect sets that are out there and are talked about for every single class, there are other things out there that can provide some incredible group utility. And this game has the flexibility to allow you to find and test those sets, and if they work for you, run them. Don't let anybody tell you what sets that you should be running.
Oh yeah. Don't ever let someone dictate how you want to play the game. Play the game, enjoy it. You know, it's one thing if you're trying to get into vet trials and clearly your damage or whatever you're doing isn't working.
Yeah, I guess we probably should preface it with that. Yeah,
That's another thing. But you know, like, look, at the end of the day, enjoy the game. Play how you want to play. That's the beauty.
Shouldn't be running Crafty Elfeek or something in a. If you're pushing progression trials, those are situations, and those are more rare situations. I think majority of the people that play this game play the game either solo or just casually, just because the game, you know, what the game offers is awesome. Right. And then there is a portion of the player base that plays PvP, and then another portion that plays end game PvE. And then things really start to narrow down to where it gets more a little bit more specific in the things that you should be running, I guess, if you want to maximize your character. But hey, if you're running some off meta set and you're a DPS character and you're pushing good DPS, if you're a healer and you're absolutely keeping everybody alive, or if you're a tank and you ain't dropping aggro and you're not dying, then what does it really matter? You know?
That's a valid point. So there you go, Heavy.
Yeah.
Appreciate you and all you do, by the way. You're pretty awesome.
Yeah, you are. You're a good dude.
Heck yeah.
Man love.
Best dang town crier in all the business.
How's little dude doing?
Doing good. Surprised him with PixArk today. That's Ark Survival Evolve, but the pixel version.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Is awesome.
Yeah. So, aside from an Elder Scrolls house, we're also a Ark Survival Evolved house. We love dinosaurs. We love Jurassic Park. We love Ark Survival Evolved. And he's all about that right now.
Dude.
PixArk.
So I'm going to have to look that up. Did I hear that they're making like a new version of Minecraft? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Or am I the crazy?
No, I think I know they continue to do updates and stuff. I know Minecraft Dungeons just came out. Huh. But no, I don't know. That's a good question. I kind of want to look it up.
Yeah. I've always been a one of those people that like I hate blocky video games.
Yeah.
But I absolutely see the genius in Minecraft.
Oh, man.
Like,
did they not just come in at the right time with the right thing and make a lot of money?
Yes. And like, see, that's why I was so excited for EverQuest Next. Remember that game that got kicked square in the nuts and died?
Yeah. Man.
Right after we interviewed.
Gosh.
Right after we interviewed Mr. Georgeson. Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Yeah. You know, so we interviewed.
Side note. Sorry.
Yeah. Not to take it off the rails too much, but yeah, you know, we interviewed Drew Karpyshyn, awesome author, did everything with SWTOR and, you know, the Darth Bane books. And then Evan Georgeson, we had on the show.
I don't think it was Evan.
What'd I say?
He said Evan Georgeson.
What's the first name? What am I messing up? I know Jorgensen's right. What am I messing up?
It's Mister.
Mister. Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that. So anyway, you know, this was just as EverQuest Next was wrapping up. All these changes happened, and he came on the show and talked about it. It was a lot of fun. You know, maybe we should bring those back. I've got those episodes stored locally. Oh,
that would be funny. But
we should just put them out and let people listen.
And see, we have people in chat that used to play Landmark, so they know exactly what we're talking. These are our people. You guys are totally our people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
You're clicking right along with what we're talking about. So my point to that was, a thousand princes is such a side tangent. I really don't care though. I love the thought and the minds that went into Minecraft. It's insane. I can't play it, but I love the thought.
Yeah.
Of, you know, this world that gets randomly generated. You go into any world and it could be totally different underneath. Start digging and all of a sudden you're in caverns and all this different stuff. You find all these things. Oh my God. Amazing. That's why I was so excited for EverQuest Next.
Oh,
and then that game went away, I've always wanted something like Minecraft, but that looked like it came from, you know, 1986 and after.
Yeah.
As opposed to what Minecraft looks like. It's like, oh God, I can't get into doing that. But yeah, I would love if they came out with something that was stylized and looked really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, terrible side tangent. But anyway.
We definitely need to do Sweet Rolls and Coffee and talk about that. Because I would love to sit on that for a little bit. I'll never forget when they did the press conference for that game. That was good stuff. I had my first house. Just bought my first house.
Oh, yeah. And I'm still a backer.
Are you really?
Well, I mean, it wasn't crowdfunded, but like I bought the I bought like the biggest pack you could get. You know, it had all all the stuff for Landmark, and I played in Landmark for a little while.
Man. And stop it. We need to move on.
You stop it.
You stop it. You don't know me. Next problem.
I love you, man.
All right, so enter the Elder Scrolls Online Grandmore Home Decorating Contest is coming to us. All this is coming to us from ElderScrollsOnline.com today. So, to celebrate the release of the Grandmore chapter, Zoss is happy to announce a vampire / Nord themed housing contest. Now, this is running right now through Friday, July 3rd at 11:59 p.m. EST. You can submit one screenshot per category, so either vampire or Nord, of your home / room that embraces one of the following themes. I'm just going to say it again. A home fit for a vampire. In other words, design a home fit for a single vampire lord or an entire brood.
Ooh, brood.
Brood.
I like that word.
Yeah, the good word. Nord or Nord homestead. You craft a lodging that could make any true Nord proud.
Even the Riggards?
Look at you.
What the hell did you just do?
You're watching your face, like, figure out and try to just, like, question. Like, it raised a massive question mark. Your face just formed a question mark. Like,
he's just Riggard. I don't need you to make fun.
That's my water boy. Okay, so anyway, to enter, simply upload your screenshot directly to the entry form at the bottom of the article that they have for you. Here's some official rules. Make sure you read them. Please note and make sure it's a good one that you choose. You can only submit one screenshot per category. So it's got to be the shot of all shots. That's pretty steep. I'm not going to lie, man.
It is. I kind of get it, though.
Yeah, you imagine how many they're going to have to field?
Like, what are they going to do otherwise? Man. Like, go tour everybody's home?
It's going to take 2 weeks to go through this. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, PC players using an add-on like Essential Housing Tools must disable any add-on generated textures and effects prior to submitting the screenshot.
I like that. Look at them. Like, bring it back to the basics if you want to be part of this.
Vanilla. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah. All right. So after the contest period ends, members of the ESO... You just stared at me. ESO dev team...
I did, because it got weird.
Have you ever met a wrestler? In real life, have you ever met a wrestler?
No.
No? You look disgusted. Apparently, you're not a wrestler.
No,
you were not
completely
an OG
weird
wrestling fan. How's it any different weird than talking about a completely different IP and talking about it for 5 to 10 minutes?
Well, we do have a video game podcast. So occasionally, we talk about video games.
Wrestling's video games.
Oh, no. Can you hear the train hopping off the track right now?
Toot, toot, toot.
You're driving, just so you know.
I like to picture myself as Sweet Tooth from Twisted Metal.
Are you really going to out yourself as a wrestling fan?
Oh, I'm from the old school days, back when it was good? Yeah, I was a fan.
Like Bam Bam Bigelow days?
Oh, heck yeah, dude. Bam Bam.
Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan days?
Oh.
Oh! Yeah, I guess I was too at that point. But that was before I...
That was before it got weird.
That was before my nuts dropped, bro. I discovered other things at that point.
Yeah. Oh, the town crier's here. Come here, town crier.
I guess I got to make it.
The child is here.
PG.
You want to tell everyone goodnight? You can say hi. Say goodnight.
Good night.
There
good
you
night,
go,
buddy.
All right. Love you. Go sleep. Have a good night. All right. So, yeah, I was a fan of wrestling. I was a fan of Monster Jam. Fan of NASCAR, too. NASCAR back in the day was the bomb. I'm going to say.
Okay. You might be a redneck.
Might be cultured if you're a fan of NASCAR. All right. So, anyway.
I love that. The guys who can only turn left.
They turn right, too, on road courses. Daytona has one.
Yeah, they can only turn right.
Look, all I'm saying is when...
They can't turn left.
I'm just going to move on. I'm dealing with a jerk.
Yeah, this is a tangent show.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah, this is a relaxing show. Look, it's been a week, all right? It's been a week, and we're here.
It has been. I'm with you, but I got... I mean, before we close this thing on the contest,
I'm not even halfway
done. I got something to say. So what? Finish.
All right. Gosh, you're so demanding. You're like a wife I can never get rid of.
I got antiquities to get back to, so.
All right.
Keep
so
it
anyway,
clicking along there,
after
Sally.
After the contest period ends. Hey, why don't you give me another tangent about another IP, you douche? all right. So,
at least it was a fantasy IP.
After the contest period ends, members of the ESO dev team and stream team member J. Hart Ellis will review the submissions and choose one winner and two runner-ups per category. So here's the deal. Here's what you can win. Two grand prize winners will win 21,000 crowns to spend in the ESO crown store.
That's $150.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. A house of your choice. That's Ooh. Pretty awesome.
Snug
includes
pod.
Previous limited time offers. Oh my god.
Definitely snug pod.
Definitely good. The Elder Scrolls Online, Grimoire Digital Collectors, a Vampiric Sovereign Statue Digital, and Libations Bundle. This will be announced at a later time. Ooh. I think it's Whoa. Crown Store related. Yeah.
There's a little, that's a nut tickler right there,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I don't know what to do, yeah. And a music box of your choice includes previous limited time offers. Four runner-ups will win 5,500 crowns, Elder Scrolls Online, Grimoire Digital Collectors, and a music box of your choice. Winners will be selected in July.
That's pretty quick turnaround right there. So
that was pretty good.
I love this idea. I love housing contests. I'm not good enough in housing to join in.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
No, you can hardly play the game, let alone create a house.
Oh, the insults. They just keep rolling in. They just keep flowing in like the River Nile. Anyway, I'm going to throw this out there. We, I think we talked about it last week, we are currently having our PCNA guild house built.
Uh-huh.
And we did a shout-out last week. I'm going to do another shout-out right now because this absolutely applies. So, Jamarn, Geek Me Out, and Noma from our guild are, I can't even describe the amazement that I have every time I show up and have to, like, you know, somebody will send me something. By the way, too, if you're in our community and you have donated either gold or items, you guys are like amazing. I put it out and said, hey, look, we're looking for, you know, these certain items. Jamarn gave me a good list of items that we're looking for. And within a day, like almost the entire list was filled, and we've had gold donations. It's been awesome. Anyway, every time I show up there, this place looks insane. There are some insane talents out there. I am throwing this gauntlet down to our folks in our own community, in Lore Seekers community. Do this. Please do this. Aurora DeWinter, like, she's another one. Please do this. Like, you guys are so good at housing. I would love to see your stuff in the top rankings for
I think
this.
Cash said if a lore seeker wins, he's donating something from his personal Elder Scrolls collection.
I'm trying to think of all the stuff I have in my personal. Are you talking to the one behind me? That one's off limits, pal. But we still, I do have some stuff. So
you have a horn, don't you?
Well,
you have a horn? You have an extra horn?
Now, I'm going to leave it up to you to remind me.
Oh.
But if one of you four, because I know we have tons of housing folks. If we get a lore seeker in the top, or like one of the runners up.
Four? Top four? That's the total, right? Top four?
Well, there's four runners up and then there's two grand prize winners.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If we get a lore seeker as either a grand prize winner or a runner up, the Lore Seekers podcast will throw in a prize.
There you go.
On boom, top boom. Of it.
It'll be a
You're going to have to remind me of that.
So it'll be a signed sock from Cash and Jibs.
It's not going to be a sock.
All right.
That's disgusting.
It'll be washed.
Why do you have to be such a man sometimes? Anyway, I'm going to stick to that. If we get a lore seeker, watch, we get like four lore seekers in the top. Be like,
watch somebody win and then they join the community. man, good
anyway.
Stuff. All right, so anyway, yeah, I'll remind you. I'll keep you on your toes.
Yes, keep me accountable.
I gotta freaking keep you accountable everywhere else. As you drink, drinker. Now live, explore Skyrim and Tamriel with Stadia. This is Stadia week, by the way. when it comes to Elder Scrolls Online.
It is. I saw that message. It popped up on my screen.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Zoss is thrilled to announce. We've got some new details here. Zoss is thrilled to announce the Elder Scrolls Online is live on Google Stadia. So we're going to read this verbatim. We're going to go through this together. I want to make sure you guys get a lot of details because I feel like, especially when it comes to a lot of people's posts, there's a lot of confusion when it comes to how this all works. So we'll go through this one together, okay? So if you like to explore Tamriel across multiple devices, visit the Stadia website and select the Try Now button to begin. You'll be asked to either log in or create a new Google account. Also, for a limited time, you can grab Stadia Pro, as part of a free trial, giving you free access to Elder Scrolls Online. Now, with Stadia Pro, which, by the way, I believe it's either $10 or $15 a month, okay? You gain access to Elder Scrolls Online base game free on the Stadia store from any of the supported devices. You can choose to buy access to the ESO base game or the Greymoor chapter from the store if preferred. If you already, this is a quick note, if you already play ESO and have a PC/Mac account, you only need to access to the base game to continue your adventures. You'll retain access to any and all chapters and DLCs you currently own too.
Can I backtrack for just a second?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what Stadia, Google Stadia is.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, it is a web-based cloud service for games where basically when you join and purchase it, you get a controller. And essentially you link it to your TV. I mean, dude, if I'm wrong, like, let me know. You link it to your TV or whatever medium you're going to play it on. And you have access to all the games that you purchased through this Stadia interface. Now, Elder Scrolls Online is one of those games that you can play. So it's basically a new platform, but it's 100% cloud-based. And it's a subscription service through Google.
Right.
Boom. Sorry. Continue.
There you go. No, you're fine. And you said more details about it than I kind of knew. So there's that. Let's see, where was I? So I'm going to read this note again real quick. If you already play ESO and have a PC/Mac account, you only need access to the base game to continue your adventures. You'll retain access to any and all chapters and DLCs you currently own as well. Next, you launch the game, either create a new ESO account or link to an existing one. Talks about how you can do it. Once you've linked and verified your accounts, you're good to go. Now, another quick note. Stadia allows you to play ESO across supported devices on wired or Wi-Fi internet connections. And thanks to its PC cross-play and cross-progression support, you can continue your adventures and keep switching between PC/Mac platforms at will. Can't wait to see the ESO community exploring Tamriel with Stadia. So yeah, I like what this is about. Here's the deal. Here's the only deal I have with this. Like, I don't want to have two subscriptions. I don't want to pay for Stadia Pro and pay for a subscription to ESO as well. You know what I mean?
Well, then you're out of luck.
Yeah. Like, if I was playing all the games on it, that'd be a different thing because it'd be an investment that makes sense. But I'd be only be coming to Stadia just for ESO. Now, there's a lot of other great games on there. I know Destiny 2 is on there.
Yeah.
There's a whole list, you know.
I would say if you play a lot of games and, like, you travel a lot, or if...
Oh, yeah, right there you go.
If you're a gamer and you carry around a laptop on business trips and such, because you go back to your hotel room and you play video games, this might be for you, like, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might love Stadia, but at the same time, like, single player games and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I like to have them locally just in case my internet decides to, you know, stage a coup.
Well, I've heard a lot of mixed things about Stadia too, and I'm not speaking in regards to ESO. I'm speaking to Stadia on its own. It's been I've heard really hit or miss as far as quality of servers and quality that the platform provides. I can't confirm this at all. This is 100% hearsay, okay?
YouTube. It's 100% YouTube.
There you go.
YouTube just has a few opinions.
There you go.
I think one of the biggest things, I've watched a few reviews on it, not necessarily because I'm interested in getting it, but because I wanted to be able to explain what it is for our show.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things that I see over and over again is you have to have a good internet connection. Because if you have a spotty internet, I mean, imagine all the assets and stuff that have to be locally downloaded.
That's a lot, man.
Even on a temporary basis, right? To play these games. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
man, there's a lot.
I think the fact that it's launched is amazing. Obviously, they've gone through tons and tons. I'd actually be interested to see like a demo of it.
Yeah.
But like, my Netflix kicks me in the nuts sometimes. It's just like, you don't have it comes back with that default. You're not connected to the internet.
Yeah.
Bull crap. I'm totally connected to the internet. Like, what are you talking about? You just make an excuse. And then the next time it gives me that little wheel of death. And I'm like, dude, I pay for the best internet I could possibly get right here, and you're giving me that wheel of death.
Yeah.
So it's just so hit or miss, and I could not imagine it's going to be kind of funny. I could not imagine being on the Fire Boss and Sunspire on hard mode, and something happens to your Google Plus where you start getting the... or your Stadia, where you get the little wheel of death. That would enrage me.
Yeah.
Indefinitely.
Imagine that on VMA, you're doing a perfect run, then all of a sudden the last boss starts acting up.
I might literally break loose a piece of plaque in my brain, and it lodges somewhere and just causes a facial droop for the rest of my life.
Wow, that got real descriptive and really tragic. I was leaning towards just breaking a controller.
I'm just being real with might anatomically happen to my body if that happened to me. Like, that is the etiologic effect of what could happen if that were to happen to me in the middle of VMA, say. So anyways.
Okay.
I just took that to a dark place.
Yeah, I was just leaning towards, I do something I never do, and that's break a controller or something. I don't do that stuff. I don't freak out.
And certainly not to poke fun.
You're over there freaking face-altering, life-changing events happening.
I am not trying to poke fun, because I deal with stroke patients all the time, but you may be doing a podcast with somebody with a facial droop and a vocal deficit.
Nightfall Crown Crates. So, next article here. Nightfall Crown Crates bring monstrous new goods to Tamriel. we're just going to go through this. I'm going to read this to you. Quote, in the internal night of Blackreach, the thirst for blood is rivaled only by the thirst for power. Within their gothic fortresses, vampires plot and conspire, seeking the ruin of meddlesome mortals and undead rivals alike. Through intrigue, murder, and worse... these dark sovereigns gather spoils beyond counting. Only the bravest, or the most foolhardy, adventurers try to claim these treasures for themselves. Do you dare gaze upon their blood-soaked plunder? Gather your courage and cunning. Nightfall draws near. So, yeah, we got a little tease. So these will be out June 18th. In other words, if you're listening on release day, they're out right now. So what we're going over is just a tease, just a tickle, right? And they got a few things listed here. First up, the Accursed Death Polymorph and Cursebound Bear Mount. Dude, I'm not going to lie, that polymorph is kind of gnarly. I'm not really a polymorph kind of guy, but this looks like a full-on death hound. If a death hound was a human being with the gnarly teeth, red glowing eyes, jacked up skin, this is exactly it.
I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't that crazy?
That looks like something straight out of Doom.
Yeah. Oh, man. Nice pull. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's gnarly. Dude, look at the flesh like ripping off of his, or the skin, ripping off of his muscle, and you can see the red muscle on the, or underneath.
It's gnarly, yeah. It's, so it looks like a Nord tunic, you know, one arm with a wristband, glove, the other not, and his skin is just in pieces, and just full on muscles, and just,
bear, dude.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Bear. So speaking of the bear, the curse bound bear mount. It's a death hound bear with armor. And literally, that's why I love it so much. This literally looks like something out of Mordor in Lord of the Rings. This looks awesome.
That was an excellent pull, sir.
Thank you.
Damn.
So
your lore brain is sexy.
Man, ooh, thank you. So it's totally just like the Death Hound, you know, the way the polymorph looked, same skin profile, Death Hound kind of jaw and face, red glowing eyes, and it's got this black armor that just kind of, it's all jagged. It's clearly been hammered together. It just doesn't look perfect, but it looks menacing.
He's hammered.
He is hammered.
Yeah.
This looks good. I like this. Are you a fan?
I am a fan of it. I collect the bears. I like the bears. I don't know about the horse.
Well, we'll get there. Next up, you got the frostbite. Next, you got the frostbite spider mount. So if you're a collector of mounts.
Whoa, that's not a mount, though, is it?
No, it's a mount. No.
Wait a minute. That's a pet.
Oh, spider pet.
Oh, my God. I was so excited thinking that was a mount.
What, you thought
nice
you could
job.
Ride Shelob?
Thanks for destroying my dreams.
Well, you're welcome. So anyway, if you want a pet that looks like Shelob, that's all white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? Every square inch in Elder Scrolls V where you're getting attacked by a freaking frostbite spider.
Those are the worst. You know, it's the only time that I literally still makes me nervous this day. I go in a cave. And Skyrim, and those massive spiders, dude, those give me the heebie-jeebies. Can't stand them. Can't stand them.
But they remind me 1,000% of Shelob. For sure. The rendering in the movie, did it not look like the spiders from Elder Scrolls? Just bigger and more pissed?
That's a good point, yeah.
Yes!
Absolutely
I love it. So this frostbite spider is going to be a purchase. For me.
Oh yeah, for sure.
1,000%. Yes, it's nostalgic for me.
Oh, agreed. Next, you got the Frosthaunt Glister skin. Now, this looks like the ice skin that you earn in the event, in the Christmas. I forget the name of that event. Around that time, end game event, but it's like a darker tone, really dark blue. I'm not a huge fan of this.
I'm not either, dude. I gotta be honest.
I could see why people would like it.
Yeah.
It's like a more menacing ice skin.
No, I mean, I know that's the motif that we got going on right now is cold. I get that. But I just think there could have been a better skin other than, you know, ones that are very, very, very similar to ones we already have.
Yeah, I agree.
Gloomspore skin. You know, maybe they're waiting until they do the Valenwood content for that.
Oh, is that next chapter? We're going
it's
to Valenwood?
It's the next chapter. We're going back to Valenwood. Right. It's going to be a whole new storyline. It's going to be insane. It's all about the Wood Elves.
Oh, yeah. Deep, dark story. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's when they're going to release the two new classes, the Tinkerer and the Bard.
Here's Zoss right now. Here's Zoss right now.
Hey, did you hear that latest episode of Lore Seekers? Yeah. How the f- do they know about that? Those pieces of
they're not even listening, but if they are, they're like, say it again.
Stop it, you guys. This is more balls.
Art confirmed.
Oh, my God.
All right. So next up.
No. I'm just kidding. There's no Valenwood. There's no Bard. There's no Tinkerer. But I don't know. Maybe a Gloomspore skin or something like that would have been cool.
We just had Gloomspore mounts. What more do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want, more mushrooms hanging off the tails?
And then there's a horse with the overbite.
There is. The cursed boundless.
That's it. We're out of the will.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, this mount does look pretty awesome. Every lich's mount, very teal-esque looking in this picture. Tattered armor, red and gold, very faded. And then it's got, again, I'm just going to call it the Death Hound face, like the facial features. You know, it's got those really spiky teeth and, like Cash talks about, a massive overbite.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think about it, like when you're designing something like this, they're doing it very detailed. And you know it's going through their mind. It's like, okay, what does a horse look like if the skin is sloughing off? Well, that's exactly what a horse looks like if the skin's sloughing off. So
yeah, you can see it's a rib cage.
Yeah, it is well done. I'm just not a horse fan, so look at his little tail.
Oh, I like that. I just now noticed that. Man, I'm a big horse fan. I've always been a big horse fan. Oh, yeah.
And he needs to eat a burger.
Because
his rib cage is showing.
He's perfect. He's perfect.
You got to eat some food. A whole meal of food.
My God, you've gotten fat.
He clearly has not gotten fat.
Oh, Sabercat Prowler mount. This one's next. So for all of you who love your kitty cats, this one looks gnarly.
Yeah.
Absolutely gnarly. This looks like something that was made by Molag Ball himself. In fact, I think he's got these little logo on the side of his hip and his paws. But anyway, he's got two huge tusks.
That's not my logo.
That's not your logo?
You need to go back to lore school.
Well, you
that's
need to...
That's an M for Morrowind.
Morrowind? That's not an M for Morrowind.
Dude, he just pops in whenever he wants.
I know, I don't like it. I think he can just hop right in here. Oh, douchebag. Anyway, so yeah, this mount is glowing blue, kind of lightning all around it. Again, tattered armor, cloth pieces and mount pieces, and it looks something out of Mordor, man.
Lightning. So the one thing I think they really nailed on all these is the fact that they're blood fiendish. They're super blood fiendish in design. And when I say that, I mean they have like the bat style ears.
Yeah.
And the beady little teeny freaking creepy eyes on all of these. They have the faces, regardless of what type of animal they are, the faces all are reminiscent of vampires, like a vampire bat. So
yeah,
absolutely nailed that aesthetic for sure.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Now, again, the ones we're talking about right now, we're going to finish up here on the last one. These are all part of the extremely rare mounts. In other words, a really, really low drop chance that you get into Crown Crate. This last one is everything I have ever wanted them to do with a cinch rot. It is a curse-bound cinch rot dark fang mount. This is amazing. It's a cinch rot. Again, full Death Hound appearance, armor to the teeth, red skin, red and black, and then it's got some kind of tattered looking paint on his skin. Like I'm really kind of torn on this. I have some verbs. I have wordage I need to talk about on this one. Do you need anything? Is there anything you want to get out? I'll just.
How does he run? does he run like he has a spinal degeneration problem?
Look, I'm not going to lie. Any Sentrod that you ride in this game, if you do not have a high speed upgrade, there's some problems there.
He runs like he either dislocated a hip or he has hip bifida. One of the two.
Look, here's my take on this.
Oh my
this
God.
Is the first. This
You're
is the first
hate mail?
Highly.
Oh, geez. Sorry.
Oh, it's true. But anyway, I feel really torn about this. This is the first time we've had a highly customized Sentrot since Elsewhere. We've had other Sentrots available, but nothing that's been, you know, like when we were doing the whole. What was it, you know, the bit that after a while, you know where I was at, I stood with it, I'm just like, oh, okay, the mount that you could constantly customize and all that.
Oh, Yes.
What was that one? What was the name of it? It's in Somerset. The antler, the elk, deer.
Yes, I'm thinking. Dang it, you put me on the spot.
Endrick, there it is. Endrick. Pixie Horror Gaming's on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Endrick.
So, that entire time we were doing that, I just kept thinking, why aren't we doing this for Ascentrot? It's an Elsewhere chapter. We're past Somerset. Why aren't we doing this for Ascentrot?
Right.
Now we're seeing this. We're in Greymoor, and I love this. But here's the thing. This thing's behind a high paywall and a very random chance that you'd even get it. So I'm kind of stumped as to why we're just now seeing this kind of amount. And really, this is obviously Greymoor themed. Let's get that out of the way. It's obviously Greymoor themed, the way this thing looks. But my question is, why are we just seeing Ascentrot? And we're past Summer, we're past Elsewhere. I wanted this in Elsewhere. I wanted, you know what I mean? Am I too far over the top here?
Yeah, you're being a little kid.
All right.
Jeez.
I mean, we don't have to buy them. I get it.
Is there anything else you want?
I just... Where's my Dwemer, Todd?
You're definitely not getting that one.
No, it just kind of bums me out.
I see
your
point.
That's all I got to say. It just kind of bums me out.
I see your point. I guess, I would like to see the Endrick. They've just gone, through all these different seasons of the Endrick. And I think a lot of people are probably just burnt on that particular mount. Not burnt. System.
No, the system's great, but please move on from the Endrick.
The system is great.
It's great. It was a lot of Endrick, man.
I think there's a certain player that caters to that. And I think there's a lot of players out there that, really like the beautiful and elegant looking things. Like people that play Altmer might like the beautiful and elegant things. And I'm not that, I like a bear. I like grizzled, kind of mean looking, nature-y looking stuff. So the green Endrick I got them, don't get me wrong. I got them all, but I probably won't use any other one but that green one.
Yeah.
So I think it's very specialized. I just would like to see more choices. And I don't know how hard that would be from a design perspective or from a developer's perspective to be able to take different mounts or different base mounts. So say they did one for, if they did one for a bear, dude, I would literally give birth to a kitten.
Yeah.
That sounded really weird.
Yeah, really take it there. You take it to 11, and I have to pick up the pieces and figure out how to bring this thing home.
If they had, because I like bears. People hate the way the bears run. Well, I don't care what you think. Like bears.
Wobbly, like their hips are out of socket.
Exactly. I mean, it's almost like the way the Centron runs. The Centron, literally looks like they skip leg day. They're just so...
Yeah.
They're so beef in the front.
Yeah.
And not so much on the bottom. But that's what a Centrot looks like. Anyway, I digress. If they did the different seasons and the morphable mounts with different types of mounts, maybe even just add two more. You know what I mean? Maybe add a wolf, add a bear, add a guar. Oh my God. All over it. But we're stuck with one. So I see your point on this would have been cool before, but why are we seeing a freaking Centrot now? Well, because people like the Centrots, for one.
Oh, I love them, man.
Yeah, they're bitching. But now they just gave you a kick-ass, half-bat vampire Centrot. And
I know. I love it. I just wish there was other ways to earn it than buying it. It's just...
Ah, yes. Okay.
More opportunities. Okay. It's behind an extremely dense paywall.
Yes.
Which not every player can partake in. And we've had this conversation a long, long time ago on the show.
But, this is a good conversation, though. So
it's just...
Yeah, go. Because I got another point I want to finish with, for sure.
Well, I just... it's... Look, it bums me out that the first time we see a very customized Centrot that was... brought to the game in the Elsewhere chapter is now behind a very highly paid paywall. There was, I'll never forget the figures that I saw. They're not at all official. They're not at all, you know, confirmed. And I won't even say them on the show because I don't want any of the audience to take that. But I remember seeing the drop chance of these extremely rare mounts that somebody had went through and worked all the numbers. Extremely way smarter than I am. And I'm just like, oh, man, come on. Like, why is this behind such a high paywall? It's such a crap chance that you could... There's such a crapshoot that you could even get it.
Right. So, I have no problem with this being rare. Zero problem with that. I think there are some things in the game that should be incredibly difficult to get. And rare. I totally get what you're saying about the paywall thing. Some people just aren't going to be able to do that, and it's 1,000% understandable. So give them an opportunity in another way to do it. Case in point. Remember when I talked about the home run they hit with the antiquity system?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Bro, that mount is amazing. And I cannot tell you, we probably have a handful of people in Lore Seekers that have it already. I would probably say, venture to say, I've probably seen like 10 people get super excited about it. Maybe there's others that have gotten it that I haven't said anything in chat, but I have not heard a single person complain about the work it took to get that mount. And you still don't see that many of them running around because a lot of people don't either have the time to do it or they just haven't gotten there yet. Eventually, there'll be a lot of those mounts around. My point is, it was attainable in the game without paying any money other than obviously having to buy the content. And it is something that you can earn, even though it takes a lot of work. I think our friend Mission from Brothers of Tamriel podcast, it took him 3 days to get it, and he was grinding. It took him a few days to get it, to go through all that stuff to get what you need to create that mount. Now, say you have a rare mount like this that you can buy in the Crown Store. Say you can't. It's not in your budget this month. How about a way to go out and earn it? You know what I mean? Well, how do you... It doesn't make lore sense. How do you construct a mount like that? Well, you know what? Maybe what you're looking for are pieces to a spell. You do a spell and then you summon your mount. Summon all of them anyway. You know what I mean? So yeah. I totally get what you're saying. I really would like to see some additional ways to get some of these more rare items by 100% earning them in the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm really glad you made that point. That was something we discussed many volumes, I think a couple volumes ago, about bringing about these achievements in the game that have a very high time input, you know, that you have to focus on,
right,
to get said goal, which would in turn give you some kind of mount or something. That was something, I will say this, I always appreciated about Warcraft. I don't know where, you know, what it's like nowadays, but I remember way back when, if you wanted something, a mount, that they were unique, that was always special. Yeah. And then I'm done after this. But it was always special. Still to this day, if I were to reboot everything with Warcraft and I saw an old mount, and I would look at that and think, I know exactly how they earned that, and I know exactly how difficult it is to earn that.
Right.
That is cool to see. That is something that always stood out to me.
Do you remember maybe it was one of the first ones. I don't know if it was the first one, but the Warlock's horse. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that an exclusive mount to that class that you had to earn through a quest line?
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of stuff that I love, that kind of content that gives you that type of a kick-ass reward. And like last week we were talking about the difficulty and stuff, maybe possibly scaling difficulty and stuff, and giving you better rewards for some of the quest lines that you do. on harder difficulties.
Yeah.
It kind of goes along with that whole thing to where if you were to have some kick-ass prize like this that you could get,
yeah,
you know, like the alabaster jerboa pet, the little jumping mouse.
Yeah, he's coming back, by the way.
Yeah, like maybe not, you know, all the things in the crown store, because I get too that, you know, Zoss wants some revenue coming in. I totally get that. And their crown store, I guarantee you, does very good off me alone. Probably does very well. I buy a crap ton of crowns. But it would be really cool to have more opportunities to earn some of these really cool things in-game.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. And it's I really think to get stuff like this, I'm going to piggyback off what you said and what we talked about last week, and that is some kind of scalable difficulty that clearly makes you work for it in the difficulty sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's well said, friend. Good job.
Yeah. Good job to you.
All right.
Really good work.
You too. You really went above and beyond. You did great.
We're just a couple of opinionated a-holes. That's all we are.
And a quick note, the alabaster jerboa pet and the spotted corsair mount, it is back. So that, friends, is your teaser. You can get your crates. They're available now, especially if you're listening on release day. But, anywho, I'm ready for law. Do you got some law?
Dude.
What?
I was writing this one, and I got very excited about it.
Okay, well, here we go. I like how it goes. It sounds breathing on the end.
Friends, we're at 106 lore lessons. I know.
I'm sorry you had to hear his voice that long.
I'm actually not. It's sultry.
It's not. It's lose your hair worthy.
Well, we've both already gotten that achievement. So,
what do they say in Minecraft? Achievement get.
Achievement right. Gotted. Anyway.
Yeah, do your thing.
So, friends, lore lesson 106. We are going off the rails just a little bit this week because I've been spending a lot of time in Grotwood doing antiquities and getting sky shards and stuff like that. So, on newer characters. Anyway, I digress. One of the things that I have always thought about, I always thought was really awesome, but we have never covered before, is the wood orc. And we're going to get into it tonight. Now, not much different than the Orsimer, the brutish yet hardy race of elven kind who adapted to the harsh environment of the Hrothgarian Mountains. Now, despite a majority of orcs residing in Hrothgar throughout history, an off-branch of the race settled in the dense forest lands of Valenwood long before the wood elves landed in the region. That blew my mind. Like, excuse me, what? Yes, the wood orcs were in Valenwood long before the wood orcs. Yes, that's what I said, right? Yeah, wood orcs were in Valenwood long before the Bosmer. And that intrigued me deeply. Now, many historical reports actually account for the wood orcs being present during the arrival of the Aldmer from Aldmeris. So we're talking indigenous species here, friends. And don't forget, orcs are merkind. They are ascended from elves. Now, wood orcs certainly hold traits similar to the Hrothgarian cousins, but... well, such as their reverence for strength and honor, but over many generations of living in the dense jungle, the wood orcs have adapted to their environment with improved agility and mobility, very similar to that of the Bosmer. Wood orcs excel at climbing trees, tracking prey, and also having excellent geographical knowledge, allowing them to traverse the forest with ease. And they attribute this to tactical knowledge, because warfare is a big part of the wood orc. Here's a little fun fact. In regards to a wood orc's stature, as explained in an excerpt from Cesarion the Bosmer's personal journal entitled In the Company of Wood Orcs, and I quote, I imagine that if one considers an Orsinium orc as formed like a member of a heavy infantry regiment, then a wood orc is like a light skirmisher in that same army, unquote. Now, although the harsh landscape of the deep forest lends to the adaptation and improvement of one's fine motor skills and agility, it doesn't necessarily do one to alter one's disposition. The wood orcs certainly have a blunt and brutish behavior, just like their cousins. They revere their ancestors, they revere the gods, and they especially revere honor in battle. Now, an event that shook the wood orcs to the core was their defeat at the hands of alien refugees from Cyrodiil in the town of Abamoth in Malabal Tor. The town was long occupied by wood orcs and was comprised of a cave system near the Xylo River. The location held great importance to the Moloch-worshipping wood orcs, as it was the site of a magical spring underground which provided a mysterious paint that they called the Blood of Moloch. The wood orcs used the substance as war paint, and they continued the fact that it sprung there sacred. So when the fleeing aliens from Cyrodiil attacked and captured the town and built their own city over top of it, it was considered a pivotal defeat to the wood orc population. Many wood orcs were killed. The ones who escaped were caught and enslaved as a result. Now, some that escaped or that fled and escaped considered it a shame that continues to haunt their descendants. Now, there's a book that was written called The Taking of Abamoth, an essay regarding a wood orc town which fell to the aliens. The story of the wood orc's defeat is used as a rallying cry to this day, where many who trace their lineage back to the taking of Abamoth will paint their faces red in hopes of cleansing their shame, quote, with displays of renewed ferocity, unquote. Now, where the Bosmer of Valenhood have severe restrictions on what they can harvest from the forest due to their strict adherence to the Green Pact, the Wood Orcs do not. Therefore, they are free to exploit the forest and harvest goods to craft and sell to any willing buyers, including the Bosmer. As a matter of fact, one of the Wood Orcs' most profitable exports is coal and kindle pitch, which the Bosmer need to fuel their fires, but can't harvest themselves. Fun fact. Another skill that's bred into the Orsimer culture is the smithing, and the wood orc is most definitely no stranger to this craft. A majority of the metal tools used by the Bosmer were mined and smithed by their wood orc neighbors. So as you can see, the Bosmer have very strong restrictions, especially the Bosmer that follow the Green Pact, which states that they cannot harvest any plant material from Valenwood. They can go outside, they can import, somebody else can, and they can use it, but they themselves cannot. So although the Bosmer are incredibly self-sufficient, they are very reliant on imports. So the indigenous wood orcs have seen their share of other races from Tamriel throughout their history in Valenwood. Probably the most notable are the Imperials of the Second Empire, who brazenly expanded their reach into Valenwood during the late First Era. The wood orcs took advantage of the encroachment on their lands, and they launched raids against the Imperial settlements, such as the Imperial garrison at Remen's Bluff. The settlement was overtaken and later became the home of the wood orcs, specifically the Barkbite clan. This location would later become a major city-state in Valenwood by the name of South Point. Fun fact. The Wood Orcs play a major role in the main storyline surrounding the area of Malabal Tor in ESO. It's a really good story. The conflict involves the Drabolg clan and their involvement in attempting to unseat the Sylvanar, which is the Bosmeri voice of the people. Now, the disdain that the other races hold for indigenous Wood Orcs come to light in this excerpt from a book called Civility and Etiquette, Volume 3, Wood Orcs, Part 1, Elden Hollow, written by the sage sojourner Corastir. Now, bear with me. This is freaking hilarious. How to Deal with Wood Orcs, written by an Altmer. I had to put this in. It is priceless. Quote, it is said that the orcs came to be when the Aldmeri god Trinimac was devoured by the Daedric prince Boethia. As the myth goes, Boethia excreted Trinimac's remains, and those Aldmer who followed Trinimac rubbed that excrement on themselves to become orcs.
Oh.
We've covered this before. I'm going to reiterate it again. Literally, Trinimac was eaten by Boethia and shat out of Boethia. And the Aldmer who followed Trinimac before he got eaten rubbed the poop on themselves and became orcs.
This is clearly not proper sanitizing methods during COVID. Just want to point that out.
That is clearly terrible. It's insanely terrible. But it's on the UESP. It's on the Imperial Library. So guess what? Lore lesson! Anyway, I continue. Perhaps it's just a myth, but the imagery is appropriate. Repugnant, ridiculous, and a little comical. Like the orcs themselves. I'm not writing this, friends. This is an Altmer. It is said that after a time, a sect of these people traveled into Valenwood and developed a tangential culture. A tangential culture. That's going to be another shirt. Tangential culture. The Wood Orcs.
Let's see how many people pick up on that one.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
Woo.
The orcs in general are difficult for Mur to interact with, but these Wood Orcs are similar in physicality to the Wood Elf cousins. The Wood Orcs are blunter, more ill-tempered than the Bosmer, but should be handled in much the same way, with patience, guidance, and a careful eye. Without a proper Altmeri hand to lead them, both races have the potential to devolve into a self-destructive, orderless savages that are an inconvenience and danger to all civilized people around them. How freaking terrible is that for somebody to write?
Yeah, I expect nothing less from an Altmer.
Too soon. Too soon. So anyway, I continue. So how should an Altmer deal with a Wood Orc? First, earn her respect. Like her northern Orsinium cousins, a Wood Orc admires physical strength, but she also prizes agility, speed, and geographical knowledge, equating that with tactical knowledge. Display some semblance of competence in these areas and you will earn her begrudging appreciation. Next one. Offer to begin an unarmed altercation and force the Wood Orc to submit. They enjoy fisticuffs. If you find yourself walking with a Wood Orc, gain the lead and maintain it. This may lead to a foot race. Win it and win the Wood Orc's approval.
Oh my god.
Dude, they're so classic. I have to go through these. The third one. Find a large rock, equal or greater than your body size and hurl it within view of the orc. Use a strength spell if you must, but don't let the wood orc know. If you think this sounds like impressing your way into a tribe of athletic children, you would not be far wrong. Use the above methods with caution, predictable as they may be. Wood orcs are individuals and require improvisation in dealing with them. Here are a few things an Altmer should not do when interacting with wood orcs. Don't flaunt magical abilities. Though the Altmer know that displaying advanced magic shows a lifetime of dedication and mastery in the highest craft, all orcs bear cultural distrust of magic. In their ignorance, they believe magic's primary function is oppression of their people and often bridle at its use.
Dude. I know, man.
It's so freaking Altmer are like so the bad. Worst. Okay. The second one here. Unless you're intending to ignite a battle, never hide in the trees of wood orc territory. Walk in the open. As our Bosmer cousins have learned, the wood orcs do not take kindly to those who stalk their forests. They equate secret movement with malevolence and cowardice. In part two of this collection, I'll detail hurdles that may come up in conversation with a wood orc, such as religion and Malakath, and the wood orc equivalent of Orsinium strongholds. So, I'm not going to go over any more. I could not leave that lore book out of this because it is freaking hilarious and it's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's pure Altmer.
It is, absolutely. And it is absolutely no secret to anybody who follows our podcast that I am a massive fan of the Wood Elf. Every respect of their culture, I love. Their loyalties, their deity, their warm and inviting nature. But did I have the urge to roll a new tune as a wood orc yesterday? It was freaking overwhelming, and I didn't do it. I held strong. But just doing that lore lesson, there's so much to explore, especially in the writers of some of the in-game characters that I got to read about, like Cesarion. I never really intend for any of these lore lessons to be dominated by a lore book or something like that, but this one was just way too good to pass up. Now, when this gets posted on our website, we'll be in written format, and you guys will have the ability to reference the links or reference the sources that I use for the lore lesson, and I'll have them linked in there. But there's basically three lore books, and they are great. Read them. Wood orcs, dude. So freaking cool.
Oh, man. Agreed, my friend. Well, good job. I enjoyed that. That was good.
Thank you. I just spilled beer.
You're welcome. Yeah, well, you know.
Don't spill beer.
That's what it happens. All right, friends. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Lore Seekers Podcast. And, you know, if you're enjoying it, we want to hear from you. Whatever platform you're using, take a couple minutes, if you would. Leave us a review. Tell us how we're doing. For every 5-star review on iTunes that we get, though, we'll leave you, we'll show you some love with a shout out right here on the show. And we got one here from the UK. It says Froll One Dunic. There it is. It's better when you try it again. I still feel like I messed it up.
It's better when you try it again.
I'd bought ESO because I love the lore, the Elder Scrolls universe, but I thought, quote, it's online, I won't be able to really enjoy it, end quote. So I left the game for a while. I came across the podcast and couldn't have been happier. Best company during COVID lockdown and made me want to go back to the game. I joined the guild and have already fought in a few dungeons, held a march for George Floyd, and never felt more part of the video game community. Amazing podcast for lore and news on everything Elder Scrolls Online. Dilly dilly. Thanks, guys. Mental Traveler from the PS4 EAU Guild. Well, hey, thank you so much.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
that.
You. That was cool. They actually posted a picture on, I think it was Twitter, Instagram, about the Lore Seekers did a George Floyd march. Pretty cool.
Nice.
Yep.
Shout outs to Validy and her husband, Ash Darkthorn. They've been doing a whole lot.
for the Xbox NA chapter. So we just want to make sure and give them some love. Thank you, friends. We appreciate you.
Thank you,
guys. With us. Yeah. You can always call us 765-382-6961, or you can always email us loreseekerspodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us at our physical address, P.O. Box 3665, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47803. You can also...
Bing! Sorry. I was spitting chew. Isn't that what you do?
You can find the show wherever podcasts are free. And for even more Lore Seeker content, you can visit our official website, loreseekerspodcast.com. Now, if you're looking for a community, you want to be a part, you can. You have the opportunity to go to loreseekerspodcast.com/guild, read up all about us, and go all the way to the bottom. It'll tell you what to do. Download Discord, join our Discord server, and apply by typing /apply and apply to guild channel. Special thanks to Family Jewels and Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the intro and ambience. And where can they find us on the ever interweaving webs of the social media?
You can find Jibs on Twitter at JibsIRL. You can find myself on Twitter at LoreSeekerCash. Spell it with a K. Most importantly, don't forget to follow the show. That's where the magic happens, on Twitter at LoreSeekersCast, on Instagram at LoreSeekers, on YouTube at LoreSeekers, and right here at our cozy little home on Twitch, twitch.tv/LoreSeekersPodcast.
There you go, friends. We hope you have a great week. Stay awesome, stay safe, and share your ESO fam love with friends and family. All right, we love you.
Keep washing your hands.
It's not over. Next time, Gadget. Next time.
Bye.
Chapter 3. The experience at the Red Door had become an afterthought. Led only by the light the torches provided, the group found themselves moving through some sort of cave. The shafts had been cut out some time ago, while others seemed to be opened recently, fresh piles of stone and pickaxes leaning against the wall.
"Apparently vampires are miners now,"
said Mignar, clearly growing more and more aggravated by the amount of ducking he was required to do just to make it through the cave shaft. If there ever was an instance that Mignar's size didn't pay off, this was that time.
"Don't forget to duck."
"Not funny. I'll have you know."
"Look," pointed Balin. Further down the shaft, the path curved, revealing some kind of light flickering ahead.
"Douse the torches. The men hold here. Just you and I for now."
Mignar and Balin moved slowly. As they neared the bend in the shaft, a shadow passed over the light.
"We're not alone."
"No, we're not."
Mignar put his hand on his hip, his palm resting on his dagger's hilt. His eyes narrowed, his body tensed for a looming fight. A good fight almost always ensued on their contracts, and Mignar loved the thrill of it. More times than not, if a contract didn't end up in a battle, Balin bore the brunt of Mignar's bad mood for days. Arriving at the bend in the shaft, Mignar and Balin peeked around the corner.
"This is it."
They'd found what they were looking for. The shaft opened up to a massive cavern, with what appeared to be nothing short of a castle built within the rock of the cave. Ornate and menacing in appearance, the castle looked as though it had been carved by architects from long ago. White stained glass covered the long windows, and menacing spires reached into the heights of the cavern, making every section of the castle disappear into the vertical shadows. Flames flickered from balcony torches, ornate decorations engraved the railings. Extending from the castle was a stone bridge lined with carvings of Daedric Titans, their wings extended, creating ominous archways.
"Well, this looks friendly."
"Ready to make use of the fighters?"
"Aye."
With the promise of gold and glory, it was easy for Balin and Mignar to convince the group of the plan. After all, they only told them of Vendel, and never made mention of any others. The group of careless fighters would give Balin and Mignar the distraction they needed. Even if it was for a moment, the two would surely reach the destination unnoticed. Without a moment's notice, and much to Balin and Mignar's surprise, the group of fighters charged the castle with a large shout, battle cries echoing off the cavern walls. Mignar and Balin waited for the perfect moment to sneak off from behind the group. Their moment came. Violently. As the group of fighters reached the castle, a sharp wind moved through the room, snuffing out the torches that surrounded them. And there was darkness. Balin and Mignar watched Suddenly, an ethereal shriek filled the room, followed by blood-curdling screams of dying warriors. Taking advantage of the moment, Mignar and Balin moved to the right of the carnage, following the walls until they finally reached the castle. Rounding the side of the vampire's home, the two discovered an old window that had been boarded up along the base of the castle.
Can we open it?
Not without making noise, I'm afraid.
That's a chance we'll have to take.
Mignar ripped the boards off the window frames, revealing the lower half of the window to be completely open, shredded curtains lining its sides.
Smaller men first.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
Barely able to finish his sentence, Mignar grabbed Balin and tossed him through the open window. Balin's thud from landing hardly heard from the outside. Cursing Mignar under his breath, Balin reached out the window to help pull Mignar in. Mignar swatted Balin's hand aside.
You're doing this alone, Balin.
What do you mean I'm doing this alone? I need your sword by my side in this.
I can't fit. You'll go alone or the contract is forfeit. I'll stand guard outside. Try to find the amulet. The rest is up to you.
I don't even know where it's located. How am I supposed to do this?
Mignar drew his dagger.
Go. Now.
Balin's face grew red. His mouth curled, confused by what was happening in front of him. His companion for over 10 years was now waving the pointed end of his weapon at him. In all their arguments, never had a weapon been drawn. Not once. But now, for the first time in 10 years, Balin was alone and potentially outnumbered. Balin stared at Mignar. Turning, he began to move through a dark hall, the walls lined with candles. Without warning, a shrouded mist flew through the hall at a speed not even Balin could follow. Quietly, Balin began to move forward again, only to feel a breathing heat on the back of his neck. Balin's muscles tensed, and before he drew his weapon, he felt a sharp pain on the back of his head. And then, there was darkness.